From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 7th day of November 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. I'll remind you to visit our website, willag.org, and farmassetsconference.com more than once, because we're getting to that time. It's the 22nd day of November for this conference that you need to be registered. Do it right now, farmassetsconference.com, willag.org. Don't delay, it's just $30, and hey, you'll get that back on the day of the conference. That courtesy of the state's commodity associations and organizations. Coming up yet this afternoon, we'll talk a little bit about one of the things that will happen that day, a Farm Bill listening session. Jonathan Kappas from the U of I, agricultural policy specialist, will take a look at the Farm Bill and some opinions that will be collected from producers in the coming weeks. That all happens right here on this Monday edition of Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. As usual, Kurt Kimmel is here. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
It looks like we have a lot of things happening this week. This afternoon, the crop progress report, elections tomorrow, Wednesday, USDA's crop production and the WASDE numbers on Thursday. Malaysian palm oil is out. Should be a busy week in, all of the commodities, I would think.
Yeah, it's quite a lineup. And we even saw some activity today with the political news over the weekend. Gave the investors a little bit of confidence to come back into the marketplace. Seeing in the grains, a lot of spread activity. I think everyone's fairly well shored up to where they want to be. Might be a little last-minute squaring away here tomorrow, but for the most part, I think everybody's where they want to be. SAF News progress reports expect to show corn harvest 84% to 87% complete. Beans 92% to 94%. I don't know if there's a market maker there or not. Probably more of a market maker will be the crop ratings for wheat. They're expected to see a 1% to 2% drop out of that good to excellent category. And the main reason there, if you monitor the drought outlook report, we're starting to see some fairly large area or growing areas of concern in two spots here in the U.S., and that could start to hamper wheat's ability to produce here as we go into next spring. Even though it's still early for wheat, you know, we got the winter and spring to go through. There might be a little concern there. Then as we move into the supply demand report, I think it's kind of taken a back seat to everything else, but I think the trade's fairly well dialed in for corn production to come in at about 15.04 billion bushels, and that's up about 16 million bushels from last month. That's lower 16 million bushels. Corn yields expected to be 173.2 versus 173.4, so 0.2 bushels per acre lower. Bean yields expected to go up 0.6. Last month we were at 51.4. The average guess is about 52 bushels to the acre. Production expected to jump from 4269 up to 4314. So a little smaller corn, a little larger bean. The end result in carryout, corn carryout expected to drop about 20 million bushels. And bean carryout expected to increase about 25 million bushels. So not a big surprise there. If we're fairly close. I think the supply-demand report is going to confirm that we've got an overall big crop, but we have a big demand base underneath the market, Todd.
What do we know about the progress in South America? How are the Argentines and the Brazilians doing putting a crop in the ground?
They're directly 6 months opposite of us. They've in a situation where Brazil's moved along fairly nicely. Argentina's got a few wet areas that's getting fairly wet. And the significance of the Argentine growing region being a little wet is they were going to go a little heavier corn. and they're starting to lose their time window to get their corn crop in, and it's starting to maybe have a little concern that we could see those acres go to beans. But as a whole, they're still in a position to get that crop in. What's going to be more important is their forecast once we turn the calendar into 2017, as we go in January, February, see what type of forecast develops in. Still concerned about La Nina setting in, and so that South American crop's probably going to stimulate the market to move up and down quite a bit here this winter.
Anything else that we ought to take up as you look forward into the end of the week? I know the Malaysian palm oil thing is still sticking out there, and that has moved the soybeans a couple of times over the last 3 months.
Yeah, we'll have to monitor that as we move forward in through here. The overall attitude in that market is that we've had a fairly good upward move in here and kind of looking for some consolidation. But any type of upset in the world weather pattern here could set that market up for another move.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us for the day.
Very good. Take care.
Mm-hmm. That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, follow the science in assessing the value of GMOs and antibiotics in animal agriculture. Policy should follow the science. Or so says President Barack Obama. He made his comments during an interview with Bill Maher, which was released over the weekend. He says it's important to look at the science of this stuff. When asked about the role of nutrition and corporate agriculture in the country's health, it was one of the few times during his presidency that Obama was asked directly about a thorny food and agricultural issue. My point, said the president, is that we have to make sure what we're doing, whether we're on the left or the right, is being driven by the science. If it turns out that some of these genetically modified foods aren't healthier, aren't more productive, then we should follow the science. If in some cases they aren't causing any harm, we should follow the science there as well. We'll stay in Washington, D.C., but move over to the USDA. Just in case you missed this one, a USDA Economic Research Service analysis of mid-sized farms published last week found they declined by 5% between 1992 and 2012 to about 125,000. The drop in mid-size operations, defined as those with gross cash farm income between $350,000 and $1 million, was partly due to exits from the business, but also was attributable to these operations having volatile income and tendencies to downsize or grow at higher rates than small and large farms. The trend also may indicate that new technology and the increasing profitability of the large farm limits the role of mid-sized farms in modern agriculture. During the same period, the number of large farms with the GCFI of at least $1 million more than doubled. They account for only 4% of all farms, but nearly 57% of production. Small farms of those with less than $350,000 in GCFI represent 90% of farms, but only grow about 22% of America's agricultural goods. And finally today, because it's the month of November and I'm looking forward to Thanksgiving, there should be plenty of pumpkin pie filling for the holidays. Unlike last year, this season's pumpkin crop is a good one, says University of Illinois Extension Specialist Mohammed Babadoust.
This year we started season very favorable, and enough moisture to seed and germinate seed and establish the canopy, but dry enough not to have flooding or major disease in the early season. Compared this year to last year is much, much better. We should not have any problem in having enough canned pumpkin in the market.
About 90% of the nation's processing pumpkins are grown and canned in Illinois. It can take as little as 2 hours from field to shelf ready. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. It's a Monday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Do buy your tickets right now. Don't wait any longer. WillAg.org, FarmAssetsConference.com. They're just $30. And if you come November the 22nd, to that event, after you paid your $30, you'll be reimbursed for the total cost of the event by the farm organizations in the state and the association, so it should be a great day. Part of that will be a listening session that the organizations are doing. They're collecting some information, opinions from farmers about the farm bill, and one of the people that's helping with that to kind of set the tone for the commodity listening sessions. And the farm bill is Jonathan Kappas. He works here on campus. In fact, we'll be tonight in Mount Vernon at the Holiday Inn. You need to register for these, so look it up on my website or go to the Illinois Farm Bureau. You can find it there. And go register for a meal there in Mount Vernon at the Holiday Inn. I didn't even look to see what time that starts, but I'm going to guess around 6 o'clock tonight. So tell me what this farm bill listening session is all about. Last time around, I hosted some of them, so I know kind of what they're doing, but what's up?
Yeah, so this is the first step on what we probably will guess is a fairly long journey to the 2018 Farm Bill. This is where we start with sort of the grassroots, and I think this is one of the, I think, great aspects of writing a Farm Bill, working on a Farm Bill, is that it starts at the ground level with the farmers, and we start collecting feedback and information both about how the 2014 Farm Bill has worked or not worked, the things you'd like to see different, and a chance to discuss kind of, you know, what we see going forward and think through what those policies might look like next time around.
Yeah, so there will be a series of slides that the folks will be able to look at questions really up on the front end, and they'll have clickers that won't be assigned to them, so there's no my opinion, and they know my opinion, but they answer some questions, and then you kind of help talk them through what the policies are.
Yeah, so one aspect of this is getting feedback, anonymous feedback from those in attendance, and keeping track of what the farmers are thinking and sort of what their feedback is on the programs as it operates now and what we're looking forward to. And then we're going to go back through that, and we're going to talk about kind of the lay of the land. You know, what do we think is likely to be one of the biggest challenges? Where do we think the debate might take off and kind of go? And so trying to coordinate both the feedback and a look ahead, right, to understand what we might be trying to work through and how that feedback from producers here early can really help guide the discussions as we go. And so I think it's a great opportunity to bring your input, bring individual farmers' input into the process and get that process underway.
So this is a grassroots function. For instance, tonight in Mount Vernon, farmers will come. The first thing they will be actually to answer the questions, kind of get the opinions so that they're not tainted by anything you might tell them to begin with, right? That's truly the way it works. And then after the fact, you'll take them through what the process will look like for the Farm Bill and what the major stumbling blocks could be as we move forward. And you're uniquely positioned to do this because with the 2014 bill, you were there in D.C.
Well, so I've had the incredible fortune to be on the last two farm bills, the 2008 and 2014, in D.C. So for me, this is an incredible new opportunity to see it from the beginning, to be in on this sort of ground level, grassroots level discussion and start working through that feedback and then, you know, factor back in what I lived through the last couple go-arounds as you know, possible perspective on what it might be like. And hopefully, we all come out more informed than we were going in. And I think that's a great opportunity.
There are three of these. I'd ask you what the stumbling blocks are, but I don't want to put that out there before before we get opinions for farmers. Maybe we can take that up later. But there are three of these that Farm Bureau is working with and all the commodity organizations.
All the commodity organizations, right.
In fact, the Corn Growers, Beef Association, Pork Producers, others. They are tonight in Mount Vernon, November the 22nd. They're at the Farm Assets Conference, the conference we host in Normal, and then there's another one in DeKalb later.
Yeah, November 29th, that'll be the third of this group of sessions. And yeah, and I think, you know, we don't know all the stumbling blocks and all the challenges the next Farm Bill will face. We can guess on a few of them. But I think that's why it's really important that we start with feedback from the producers to begin informing that discussion. Even before we hit our toes on stumbling blocks here and there, it's a good idea to gather up that feedback and start factoring it into to everything the last Farm Bill is expected to do and how it looks, particularly as we know with the changing economic climate for farmers, the lower prices and the big yields and things like that, that, you know, we're looking at a different situation, at least in some respects. And so I think it's going to be a great discussion. I look forward to it.
Jonathan Kappas, thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Jonathan Kappas is here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois in the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. He'll be in Mount Vernon tonight with us at the Farm Assets Conference on the 22nd in Normal, and then on the 29th in DeKalb. You can check out at most of the commodity associations and the Illinois Farm Bureau websites. Each of those, you do need to get registered, so take some time right now and do that. The only one you have to pay for, frankly, is the Farm Assets Conference, but you're reimbursed by those associations on the day of the event. So get yourself scheduled for that one, too. I'd like to have you there. That's November the 22nd. Now let's check in on the cash grain market. We're joined by Amy Sage of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. I bet it's a little bit quieter there today than it has been in the past weeks, Amy.
It is. It's much quieter. Started to really slow down at the end of last week after the rain, and over the weekend we were a lot slower. We're getting people finished up on a daily basis here, and hopefully we'll be getting everybody wrapped up by midweek, but we are running extended hours today and tomorrow, and then we'll see what we need for the rest of the week, but we'll be open seven both days to hopefully help some people get done.
Extended hours means you're open and running for business, but once you start to close that down, that's a sure sign that harvest is darn near over. What's it feel like for basis now that we're at the end of the marketing time?
Yeah, so we've seen a pretty significant improvement here in our cash bids and in the rail market over the past week or two here. We're 12 under the D's right now for our cash corn bid, 30 under the Jan for cash soybeans. So those are very strong compared to, obviously, when we're in gut slot harvest compared to what spot trains would have been worth at that time. So, you know, it's pretty normal to see an improvement here once we get through and grain stops moving. But with the crop size that we had, I don't know how much we'll see from the pretty good levels that we're at today. So I'm not anticipating a lot of movement between now and the end of the year, but I think that we'll stay stable where we're at least.
Hey, thanks so much, Amy.
You bet.
That, of course, is Amy Sage. She is with the Andersons.